The story of Kate Cox, a pregnant Texas woman who petitioned a court for permission to get an abortion, was denied by a second court. Since left the state of Texas to get an abortion in another state, that's brought significant attention to the Texans' abortion laws, which resulted in this situation. Do these laws have the health of women as the priority, or are they meant to serve political or philosophical priorities? Joining us to examine that element and more of the story is the CEO of Compass Care. He's also author of the new book, Christmas, That We Might Have Life, 12 Reflections on the First Christmas Through a Pro-Life Lens, Reverend Jim Harden. Thanks for being here today, Reverend.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
CompassCareCommunity.com is where you'll learn more about the work of that branch of Compass Care. You're based in Buffalo, and you've made the news, too, in a variety of reasons, and obviously not pleasant ones either, which we'll get into as we go along. You do have a connection with the Kate Cox story because you and your wife faced a similar situation, did you not?
We did, as a matter of fact. 20 years ago, we were diagnosed through an ultrasound scan of our baby having potentially a fetal anomaly known as trisomy 18, which is a genetic anomaly on the 18th chromosome, and the baby can survive in utero, but the condition is not compatible with life outside the womb. The baby will generally die within hours, days, or in the best case scenarios, weeks. So this is the problem. This was the anomaly that Kate Cox's baby was diagnosed with, and they were seeking an abortion. And their lawyers were saying that the physicians were saying that if Kate continues the pregnancy, it would compromise her future reproductive health and her future ability to have additional children. So this, of course, my heart does go out to Kate and her husband, Justin. The situation is heart-wrenching. I mean, I can tell you what it feels like. It's to have that kind of news hit you about your child. Luckily for us, we did not do anything drastic. I mean, we never intended to, but there was medical professionals did suggest or intimate that we might want to consider additional testing for the purposes of abortion. But one study found that up to 9.2% of ultrasound diagnoses for fetal abnormalities are wrong, as it was, thankfully, in my son's case 20 years ago. Now, whether or not it was wrong, we didn't get additional tests. Is it possible that we're Christians and we believe God does heal people, but medicine is not always right, and medical professionals are not God. And sometimes they get it wrong. In fact, some of these tests and some of these reports regarding genetic testing are wrong up to 50% of the time. You get false positives. And when it comes to tests like for Down syndrome, 67% of mothers who get tested and have a fetal anomaly for Down syndrome for their child end up aborting their babies. And if these tests are up to 50% wrong, think about that. The stakes are pretty high. They're aborting children without fetal abnormalities, not to mention the fact that what's so wrong with a child having fetal abnormalities? Just because a child has trisomy 18 doesn't make their life less worth living. They, of course, have a very long shot at a very long life. But nevertheless, we know none of us as parents know how long we have with our children. Even if they're healthy, even if they don't have fetal abnormalities. So, I mean, there's a lot more we can talk about here when it comes to the life of the mother, the health, the life of the baby, et cetera. But this woman wanted to go get an abortion to protect her future reproductive health, which is ironic because abortion actually compromises a woman's future reproductive health. She's at 21 weeks. I'm pleading with her through my Newsmax column not to get an abortion. She left the state apparently to get an abortion. But what abortion does is it actually compromises a woman's ability to have future children and sustain pregnancies to term. Abortion increases the risk of future preterm deliveries by, I want to say it's 54%. It increases the risk of breast cancer by 44%. There's so much that Kate is not being told by the medical community, and I think that is in and of itself a tragedy. So she's actually being lied to by the medical community in order to get an abortion, and they're using this to this very unfortunate situation to push a political agenda around abortion. Her life is not at risk. Her future reproductive health is not at risk unless she gets an abortion. And the life of this poor child, this trisomy 18 baby, even if he does have trisomy 18, should have a shot at life. I mean, look, it's our job as parents to protect our children, to sacrifice on behalf of our children, to do whatever is necessary to help our children, both morally and physically. And one final thought about this, I would say this. If I just received a diagnosis that, say, my toddler had a rare condition that doctors predicted would take his life within days or weeks, would it be right for me to ask the doctor to terminate my child's life? I mean, at this point in time, there's no material difference in this case except for the baby is in utero. That's it. And furthermore, what will Kate and Justin say to their children when they come back not pregnant anymore? What happened to the baby? This is something that they're going to have to live with for the rest of their lives, and not just them. They're sending a message to their children about what it means to protect other children, or about what it means to their commitment to their own children, and how their children should respond to other people.
I come into this not as a parent, but I've known parents who had a baby who was diagnosed with, it's Werner-Kaufman's disease. Basically, the baby would be born paralyzed from the neck down, would quickly suffocate, there's no graceful way to put it. And they chose to bring the baby to term for a lot of the reasons like you just said. And I've often talked about with people in your position of women post-abortion, for example, and the trauma that comes after that, which Planned Parenthood and the pro-abortion people, they don't want to be bothered with that part of that discussion. And I just saw a lot of the same things in that parent, that they felt guilty for allowing, for putting that child in a position where every millisecond of that, albeit very short life, was nothing but torture. Don't you think that's something Kate, if she didn't, should have been having as part of her thought process as well?
Yeah, I'm sure that was a part of their thought process. That is a part of the thought process. What will this do to the baby? There are wonderful perinatal hospice programs available to help parents through the process of taking care of a dying child. And they're wonderfully compassionate. And the purpose of medicine is to heal and to maintain the health of the patient. And it's incumbent upon us to leverage all of our medical technology and expertise to protect life and not use it to take life. And sometimes, you know, there's nothing, you know, look, medicine can only forestall the inevitable. All of us are going to die, every single one of us. So the question is, how can we leverage medical technology when you can't save a baby's life? It still is necessary and useful when it comes to serving the family in helping to take care of this dying person. And it dignifies all of humanity when we recognize that this person's worthy of our sacrifice, worthy of everything that we can give to serve them in a way that dignifies them and it dignifies us. There's two things in this world that are sacred: God and people. So can we find ways to be more compassionate and to use medicine to help parents in these circumstances? And by the way, Justin and Kate live near Dallas, and there is a perinatal hospice program in Dallas. That would help them take care of their baby. And it would be wonderful, a wonderful, joyous, yet sorrowful moment in the life of their family that they'll look back on with gratitude if they decided to have this baby.
To our Reverend Jim Harden, who is the CEO of Compass Care. He's also author of the book Christmas That We Might Have Life, 12 Reflections on the First Christmas Through a Pro-Life Lens, CompassCareCommunity.com, the website. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Both you and I have referenced this as a medical issue, as well as an issue of faith. Do the courts, do politicians belong in this discussion? Because just between two levels of the Texas court system, we couldn't have agreement, which made a torturous situation for the Cox family even more torturous.
Yeah, that's a really good question, the purpose of government is to ensure that domestically and, when it comes to relationships with foreign countries, that our population is protected, that there's a justice system that can protect us from, in some ways, from each other, and that there's a military that can protect us from bad actors externally. The purpose of a constitutional rule of law is that is just that, to ensure that human beings treat each other as we are. We are endowed by our Creator, capital C, from the Declaration of Independence, one of our founding documents, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. So our dignity does not come from government. Our rights do not come from government. They come from God. And so the fact that we're made in God's image is a key tenet to understanding the role of government. Human beings are made in the image of God and therefore equally valuable, without partiality, without qualification. And so when the government comes along and says, well, it's okay to not, you know, this group of people is not protected under the rule of law, and these people are. Well, that by definition undermines the very nature of the rule of law. Basically, you're giving a small group of people, politicians, the ability to decide who qualifies for protection under law and who doesn't, who gets to live and who gets to die. And that's absolute power. That's not the rule of law. That's the rule of man. So when the Dobbs case came out in June last year, they basically said, look, the government should say the states have a right to regulate abortion. And that's what they said. The states, we're going to push it back down to the states. You have a right to regulate abortion. Now you've got presidential candidates coming out saying, well, you know, we're not so sure if the government should step in on the abortion issue. Well, it's not about the abortion issue. It's about the human issue. You know, the federal government doesn't have to regulate abortion, but the federal government does have to protect all people equally, according to the 14th Amendment. The federal government has to ensure that nobody has their rights of life, liberty, and property withdrawn from them or taken from them without due process of law, the Fifth Amendment. The government does have an obligation to ensure that it is not parsing what it means to be a person. Either we're all people under the law, either we're all made in the image of God and equally valuable, or none of us are, and we're all slaves to the state.
You state the case very well. I'm going to attempt to make what seems to be a challenging transition by just saying this, that it seems like what's being done and said, as well as the foundations of law, of man's law being used, is just going to add to something that you've experienced firsthand, the conflict of the issue of abortion through violence from one side to the other, no matter which side the violence is starting on, because it's coming from both sides. If you get down to it, then this is not, I don't believe this will be getting us closer, the Texas abortion laws, I don't believe that's going to be getting us closer to any sort of, if not agreement, at least mutual understanding. But having said that, I want to spend at least a couple of moments here with your book, because this time of year especially, and given what we talk about here on the show these days too, believe your book, Christmas That We Might Have Life, 12 Reflections on the First Christmas Through a Pro-Life Lens. It's a needed insight into a time of year that is overly commercial, overly subjected to hostility, even by many people who just don't understand why this day is celebrated.
Oh, Christmas is so important for people to remind people about what it means to be human. Baby Jesus came from heaven to earth to reflect what kind of person populates God's kingdom, a baby. Or said differently, helpless humans in need of a redeemer. I mean, we as society, you look around at the tragedies that are occurring, and I include abortion. Abortion is as a systemic injustice, including the violence, the indiscriminate mass violence that we see, the terrorist activity. We look around this world and we see a world in need of salvation, a world in need of peace that it can't give itself. Baby Jesus is a revelation that that the all-powerful God of the universe is big enough to solve our problems. Baby Jesus is the certainty that the vast storehouses of heaven were emptied for that which God treasures most, human beings. I mean, this is where if we can get back to this truth, we'll treat each other better. We can re-civilize. We can rehumanize. We can treat each other with dignity and respect again. Baby Jesus is a reminder that real faithfulness is always tangible, and that he was born to defeat sin and its consequences, death. It was violence to end all violence that Jesus came for, the cross of Christ. And so the Christmas season is a moment where we can stop and reflect on all these things about how humanity, there is peace available. There is redemption available. There is a path out of the darkness and the sin that seems to have gripped us so. And I think abortion represents that sickness. I don't think abortion is the root problem. I think it's a symptom of a larger disease that Christ came to heal.
And certainly without peace within oneself, peace around our beings can be challenging to establish as well. His book is Christmas That We Might Have Life, 12 Reflections on the First Christmas Through a Pro-Life Lens. Learn more about Compass Care, compasscarecommunity.com. They have a matching operation going on right now, too, for your donation. It will be matched. I believe it's to the end of this month, so there is still time to do that. It's one of those organizations that is making a difference, not just a statement about life. Learn more at compasscarecommunity.com. Reverend Jim Harden, thank you for the difference you make, the challenges you endure at a variety of levels. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Merry Christmas.